First time I've ever preached in Ormond. We'll see how this goes. So how many of you know who I am? Just raise your hand. Okay. All right. So there is actually a few of us. That's good. For those who don't know, if you live in Flagler County, I have called you at least once. So so I just want to say welcome. I'm very honored to be here tonight. I want to introduce you guys to my daughter. Do you have a picture of my daughter? So that's my daughter. Oh, she's so adorable. So she'll be 10 months old, actually tomorrow. So anyone have kids? I would assume that on Wednesday night, which is geared towards our students, that most of us have kids. That's good. That's good. So children are amazing, aren't they? They're adorable. They're little balls of just cuteness. They're so sweet. They also require a lot of patience, don't they? Yeah, so that's good that we're talking about patience tonight. I'm happy that Cord gave me the fruit of patience. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to go ahead and stand up out of respect for God's word, all right? And then we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 together. So it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, right? That could also be long-suffering, depending on what kind of Bible translation you have, or patience. Long-suffering is my favorite translation for that word. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against no such thing is there any law. Awesome, we're gonna have a seat. So how many of us, you can tell I'm a little bit interactive for my questions, right? So how many of us have said or heard the phrase, I need to work on being patient? Awesome, good, the majority of us. That's good, and if you didn't raise your hand, you're probably lying. That's okay, it's just church, right? No, I need to work on being patient. That is false. It's completely false. And we're gonna dive into a little bit more about what that looks like and what that means today, right? So if there's one thing in one sentence that I want you to take out of tonight, regardless if you sleep through thanks to the rain, if you sleep through the rest of what I have to say, one sentence I want you to remember, okay? That patience, and write this down if you have to, okay? It's very important. So patience is produced in us as evidence of God's promise in us, okay? So we don't work at being patient. That's not how that works. Patience is produced in us because of God's promise, all right? So it's only through the transformative power of Jesus that that fruit can be produced, whether that's love or joy or peace or long-suffering, right? So those things are naturally produced in us. We don't work at them. That is not something that we can produce in and of ourselves. It is only through God's Holy Spirit living in us that those things can come out, okay? So I want to talk about a little bit about patience and character. So how will you know people? How will you know that people are who they say that they are? How will you know false prophets from true disciples? How will you know them? By their fruit. You will know them by their fruit, right? And so I want to talk about fire alarms or smoke alarms and baby bottle warmers. Yes, yes. So I like to cook at home sometimes, and my smoke alarm does not appreciate that. Every night I cook, it thinks that my house is on fire. Anybody else? Yes? Okay, my wife is most obviously the cook, right? She's a wonderful cook. So the smoke alarm thinks that my house is on fire every single time. My smoke alarm has absolutely zero patience for when I am in the kitchen. It smells even the hint of smoke and it freaks out. It starts squawking. I live in an apartment, a very small, paper-thin apartment where all my neighbors can hear me burning my food at 9:30 at night. And then you have your baby bottle warmer, which when I get up at 4:30 in the morning, because I am such a health freak, you know, I love exercising at 4 a.m. It's so great. That's a complete lie. That's a flat out lie. My daughter wakes me up at 4:30 in the morning to feed her. And so I go to the baby bottle warmer. And baby bottle warmers, if you don't know this about baby bottle warmers, they're incredibly patient, exasperatingly patient. They don't tell you when they're ready. You have to stand there with sleep in your eye, like barely awake, sleeping, standing up, waiting for the thing to get done, heating the freaking bottle so I can feed my daughter or go back to sleep because it's 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm tired, right? So baby bottle warmers, exasperatingly patient. Smoke alarms, not so much. How many of us are the baby bottle warmers? Wow, oh my gosh. Okay, literally no one. We're all smoke alarms, all of us. All of us are the smoke alarms. We're squawking and no patience whatsoever. Okay, hey, I love you Wednesday night. You are my kind of people. Let me tell you, this is great. Fantastic. So listen, well, this sermon's for us. Everyone in this room, this sermon is for us. So we're smoke alarms, right? At the slightest hint of trouble, we tend to run to God and we're like, God, can't you see that everything's on fire? Okay, I don't know what you're cooking in the kitchen, God, but it's burnt, right? I don't know what you're putting me through, but I don't like it. And we yell and we complain and we squawk, right? Like a smoke alarm, beeping, right? Having God come over to us with a towel and just smack us, get us to be quiet sometimes, right? I wanna talk a little bit about what patience means, what Paul's talking about when he writes this letter to the church in Galatia, right? So this Greek word for patience that he lists out in chapter 5, verse 22, when he is going through the fruits of the Spirit and he talks about forbearance, long-suffering, patience. This word in Greek is called macrothemia. I know in English we tend to have a lot of different translations for this word, but macrothemia, the word that Paul is using, is literally to have a long temper, right? The ability to hold your temper for a long time or under great stress. And that is what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is, for us to have a temperament, to have a temper that can endure great stress or go for a long time. And that's what we're called to have. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes his second letter to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Right? We're all smoke alarms. We acknowledge that. That's great, okay? God's not asking us to change from being the smoke alarm, but he is asking us to understand, to have patience with him, that we don't have to go off at the slightest hint of a burnt smell or fire, okay? God's the one cooking in the kitchen, amen? It's not us, and thank God for that. God is asking us to be patient, and we will be patient through the fruit of his Spirit. We are new creations in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. We're no longer like we were before. We're no longer anxiety-filled. We're no longer without peace. We're no longer without love, hating the world and everyone in it. We're no longer these things. No, we are new creations in Christ. When we gave our lives to the Lord, when we received his Holy Spirit, we are transformed. And being transformed is so cool. There's a lot of rewards or fruit that comes with that, right? And so one of those is patience, right? So as new creations, we are naturally producing fruit. The fruit is a product of the Holy Spirit at work in us. It is not our work. I know that's a hot take for some of us, right? It is not our work. It's the Holy Spirit's work in us. Our work is being a vessel for the Holy Spirit to produce fruit from. Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says this. It says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is John the Baptist. It's not the same guy who wrote the book of John, just FYI there. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, he's baptizing people out in the wilderness, right? And so Pharisees, teachers of the law, they come up to him, they're like, hey, what you doing? And John's like berating them, and he's like, hey, getting onto them. He's like, hey, you claim to be this holy, good person. You claim to repent, which is why you're out here getting baptized, to repent, to turn away from your sin and come to the Lord. That's what repentance means. That's what it means to be baptized, right? And so then John the Baptist is looking at these Pharisees and teachers, and he's like, you have to keep fruit with the keeping. You have to produce fruit in the keeping with repentance, right? And do not think that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. We're righteous because of our dad. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, Pastor Kyle, I wanna produce good fruit. I wanna be a good tree so I'm not cut down and thrown into the fire. And that's great. Trees don't have to work at producing fruit. Trees naturally produce fruit. We don't plant an orange tree and say, hey buddy, I really need you to work really hard at getting me some apples. Right? That'd be foolish. That'd be dumb. Right? No, we plant an orange tree, and what do we expect to get produced out of the orange tree? Everyone, please say oranges. Oranges, thank you. I'm so happy to hear no one said apples. Right? We plant orange trees. We expect to get oranges out of the orange tree. It's only natural. It's to be expected. So when we, as believers, are planted and we have the Holy Spirit, God is looking at us and he's saying, I wonder what kind of fruit I can expect out of a Christian. Good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience. So you want more patience, right? We all need to work at being more patient. You want more patience? Here's what you do. You repent of sin. You turn away from the things that God does not like. In fact, God despises sin. You turn away from those things and you follow Jesus as you make him Lord over your life. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what you do. You want more patience? You want to see the fruit of the Spirit active in your life in abundance? Is that what you want? Okay, here's what you do. Turn away from the things God doesn't like and turn to his ways and follow him. You will see fruit come out of that. Character totally matters. And so I want to talk about why patience and character go hand in hand with one another. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, it says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. If you are a believer in Christ, if you have received the Holy Spirit, guess what kind of tree you are? You're a good tree. That's right. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree, those who do not have the Holy Spirit, those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have repented and been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they are not good trees, they're bad trees, and they cannot bear good fruit. You're not going to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When you lived as the world lives, before you were a believer, do you remember what your life was like? Was it full of peace and joy and love and patience and kindness and self-control? Was it? No. I can tell you that I did not grow up a Christian. I did not grow up in a Christian household. I did not grow up learning this. I can tell you that my life was most definitely not full of peace and love and joy and especially patience, right? Bad trees cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and it's thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. The world is looking at us as the church, and they're not looking at our church attendance, and they're not looking at the nice things we say in Publix when we check out and we say, God bless you for the day. They're not looking at those things. They're looking at the fruit produced by your life. They're not looking at, oh, they said that they would pray for me. That's not what they're looking at. They're looking at your life and the fruit that comes out of your life. They're looking at, does this person have peace in their life? Are they patient with others? Do they yell at the waitress when they give back the wrong change, right? When someone cuts you off in traffic or you know, not doing very nice things on a public road with everyone who can see you, right? Are you patient? Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you gentle? Do you practice self-control? These are the things that people are looking at. These are the things that family members who you want to see saved, who you want to see know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, these are the things that they are looking at. Character matters. And patience, the fruit of the Spirit, patience, or long-suffering, or long-temper, leads us to have the character of Jesus. We can use that fruit of the Spirit to make us more like Jesus. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is a defining characteristic of who Jesus is. If we're called to be his followers, then we're also called to be patient. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Everyone say faith. Faith. It's not works. It's not you're a good person, you spread good vibes. It's none of that. It's not, well, I was a good boy. I went to church on Easter and Christmas. It's not any of that. I went to church twice a week this week, on Wednesday and Sunday. For those of you in Flagler County, Sunday's at 10:30 a.m. Bunnell Elementary School. Would love to see you there if you want to go to church twice in 1 week. But no, those aren't the things that justify you in the eyes of God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, yes, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith. Faith, okay, let me educate you, okay? Faith, pistis, that's the Greek word. Faith, it means confidence. It means trust. Your trust in God. How can you trust in somebody you don't know or you don't spend time with? How can you trust someone if you don't go through hard times with them and come out the other side okay with it? Right? God proves the genuineness of his character, number one, because he's so patient with us, but number two, because he is always walking beside us. It's through faith, through that trust in God, right? Through faith, by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Grace being the undeserving gift that God has so graciously given to us, right? And we boast, we brag about it in the hope of the glory of God. So we're not ashamed of it. We're gonna preach it from the rooftops. Even when it's storming outside and there's thunder and rain, we're gonna preach about it, right? We're gonna brag about our hope in God. Not only are we gonna brag about it, but we're also gonna glory in our sufferings. How many of you have done CrossFit? Okay, good job. Yes, one person, good job. They know how to glory in suffering, don't you? Yes, you do. Good job, Lindsay. Those who have done CrossFit and those who are crazy enough to do like the mudding stuff, I don't know if you guys see that on like Instagram, social media, right? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Them crazy folk. Those are the ones that get up at 4:30 in the morning by their own volition, okay? They don't have a crying baby waking them up. Those are the crazy folk. I love them. I wish I could do that. I don't have that kind of patience, right? But they glory in their sufferings. They're like, man, yes, this sucks so good. That's what we're called to do in our faith. This sucks so good. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces, everyone say character. Character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's producing fruit in you, who has been given to us. You didn't work for it. Sorry, can't work on patience. I know, all you doers out there, it's just torturous, isn't it? It's been given to you because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. It says, in all of this, you greatly rejoice. This is Peter writing to the church, most likely in Jerusalem. This is Peter's first letter. He's talking about the persecution of the church when church goes through difficult times, except this difficult time is people being fed to lions and being killed, not things that we typically have to deal with here in the United States, right? We're very blessed here in Ormond Beach, Florida, right? In all of this persecution and all of this suffering, and make it personal, make it about you and your financial troubles, right? When your kids don't act right, when your husband don't act right, right? When your wife keeps burning the food and the smoke alarms keep going off every night, right? In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials have come, these hard times have come, these troubles have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by the fire, right? That's gold. Our faith doesn't do that though. Your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, when he comes back. That's the hope that we have. That's a cool thing. You mean that when I go through really crappy times, it actually has a benefit? Yes, it does. It does. Patience is a fruit that allows us to persevere in hardship. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm suffering, I don't particularly want to stay in that place. I want to get through my suffering as quickly as possible, right? Amen? Yes. No one likes suffering. I see a bunch of heads. I'm glad no one shook their head. No, we'd have to have a talk about that, right? Maybe you want to go mudding or CrossFit, right? So, but when we're suffering, we want to get through it fast. It's hard to be patient. I want to give us a reminder of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, it says, again, the devil, this is Jesus, he's in the wilderness, he's being tempted by the devil for 40 days. My thing fell. Okay. We're good? We're good. Cool. It says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Jesus' goal when he came almost 2,000 years ago was to redeem humanity, to save us from sin, okay? And Satan, recognizing who Jesus was, took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Because for a time, Satan rules over the earth right now. We live in a fallen world. Amen, right? I think we can all agree on that. We'll just turn on the news, okay? Satan is showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I will give you, I'll just give it to you. This is what you came for, right? You're the Messiah, you're Lord. Okay, great, you wanna rule over the earth. Fine, I'll give it to you, actually. I'll just give it all to you. You just gotta bow down and worship me. If you're Jesus, okay, you might be thinking to yourself, well, of course the answer would be no. But think about this. Jesus knew his entire life from beginning to end. He knew the kind of suffering that he would have to endure on the cross, the shame, the humiliation, his death. Jesus knew he would have to die to achieve the goal of which he was sent to do. To accomplish the mission, Jesus would have to die. He would have to suffer horribly. Jesus knew that, and he knew every bit of it and what that entailed. The devil was offering him a shortcut and saying, look, you can still accomplish your goal. You can still accomplish your mission. And best part, you don't even have to suffer for it. The only thing you got to do is just bow down and worship me. Easy. Easy. Jesus, although he was confronted with suffering and temptation, chose to trust that God's timing and ways were better than the convenience of here and now. Jesus had a little bit of patience. I don't know about you, but I like cutting corners. I don't like working too hard, you know? I work long days, I wanna get home, I wanna flip on the TV, play with my daughter for a little bit, eat some amazing quesadillas that my wife made. Okay, that's what I want. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And so if I can get my day done a little bit quicker, cut a corner here and there, right? I'm pretty tempted to do that. And maybe if you work a blue collar job, right? I've been an electrician before. Anyone work a blue collar job? Yes, okay, yes, yes. Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, I wasn't gonna continue until I got a few more hands. That's good, right? You know what that's like. Right? You work a really long, hard day. You just want to get done with it. You just want to get done with the project. You just want to call it good, right? But because you're a good craftsman, right? you want to do a good job, right? You don't want to cut corners because you know that the end product is not going to be nearly as good as if you just stuck with it and did what you were supposed to do. Also, the inspector might call you out and you might fail your inspection, right? We're tempted to do that. Jesus chose not to cut corners. He chose not to take the easy way out. He had patience with God's timing and God's ways. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus decided that suffering, the torturous death of the cross, was worth it. It was worth the joy of making the way for all of humanity to be reconciled to God the Father. So Jesus, who knew what his entire life, what his entire life would look like from beginning to end, right, was patient with God's plan. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. This is John's letter to a number of different churches. This is referring to the apocalypse, right? Armageddon, whatever, the end of time, okay? This is John's vision of heaven. And it says this. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice. Martyrs, he's talking about martyrs, Christians who kept their faith until the end, even though they were killed for it, okay? How long, sovereign Lord, these are the martyrs talking to God. How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge us, avenge our blood. Then each of them was given a white robe and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. They were called to wait just a little bit longer. You see, we're called to imitate Christ. We're called to follow him in life and to death. And when we're going through suffering, God is saying to us, I want you to hold on just a little while longer. When we have life for all of eternity, the temporary sufferings we go through pale in comparison. That is not diminishing the suffering that you are currently facing. I want you to understand me in that. I want you to simply also understand that because of the hope of Jesus Christ, because you have eternal life, any suffering that you're going to go through in this life, and you will go through suffering, will pale in comparison, as it's not even going to hold a candle to the glory that awaits us, to the amazing things that God has prepared in advance for us, for eternity, not for 70, 80, 90 years. 100 years, for eternity. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 through 18 says this. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. I like that dear friends part. That's so meaningful to me. I like that. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some might understand slowness. All of us smoke alarms in the room, right? Those of us who don't have a lot of patience, we're like, come on, Lord, let's go. Let's go. Did you hurry up? Right? Instead, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Everyone say anyone. God doesn't want anyone to perish. You want to know what the will of the Lord is? He wants the whole world to be saved. He wants the whole world to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's God's will. God's will is that no one perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience, this is in verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, and Peter is referencing that letter to Romans, which is really good, right? So God is patient with us. He's walking with us as we live through life. We do not believe in a God that is up on a mountaintop somewhere looking down the big man upstairs. I'm sure some of us have said that in this room. He's not the big man upstairs. He's not some disconnected voice in the nether, okay? He's walking with us. And we believe in a God that has suffered. And not just suffered, but sent his only son to suffer for us. Our God knows what suffering is. He is not unaware of what pain feels like, what the loss of a child feels like. Our God understands pain. Our God is incredibly gracious and patient as well. We mess up all the time, every single day. And yeah, even the pastors that get up here, I know, what was it, Aaron a few weeks ago? He was like, Pastor Joe's not that great. That was hilarious. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, he's so fired. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Joe's a great guy. Joe really is great. He's also very patient and humble. He understands what that was so funny. But listen, everyone who gets up here, Joe included in that, we mess up. We are sinful people that need Jesus just as much as anybody else. And God is patient with us and gracious with us. And he wants us to be patient too. When we are patient, God can do incredible things with us and through us if we would just hold on a little bit longer. That leads me to my last point, which is patience allows God to do more with you. Yes, if you want to see God do more with you, then you need to get closer to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And if you fell asleep the first 5 minutes and you just now woke up, I totally didn't reuse that scripture, right? No, yes, I used this scripture again for the second time, if you caught that, right? Because it's important. It's important to know that we are new creations in Christ. The old person before Jesus wouldn't have had patience. They would have said, man, forget this. And they would have dipped from their sufferings, their current situations, right? The new creation of Christ, however, who has the Holy Spirit, says, I'm going to be patient and persevere and receive the blessing that comes with it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says this. It says, you need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. What's the will of God? That no one perish, that everyone comes to repentance. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We've been promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Those who have given our lives to Jesus, those who have repented and been baptized into faith in Jesus, and the fruit that the Spirit now produces inside of us produces naturally the fruits of love and joy and peace. But for tonight, most importantly, patience. We can see more of that the closer we get to Jesus. In John chapter 15, verses 4-5, it says, remain in me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The Last Supper, think of the Da Vinci painting or the Da Vinci Code, I don't know, whatever. Whatever pops into your mind when you hear Last Supper, okay? This is the night before Jesus was betrayed. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. How many of you have ever seen an orange tree, which a branch breaks off, it's laying on the ground, and the next spring rolls by and it produces oranges? Never happened before and never will happen. That branch was broken off from the vine or the main root. And now it's never going to produce fruit, ever. Ever, ever, ever. We're called to remain in Jesus. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24-25 says this. It says, then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Every one of our walk looks different. My cross might look a little bit different than your cross, but we're all taking up our crosses. We're all crucifying the old person. Old Kyle is dead. He's nailed to a tree. I now follow Jesus. I'm a new creation in Christ. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. You see, we want control over our lives, right? I'm a control freak, I'll admit it. Any other control freaks in the room? Yeah, a few of us, okay. Hey, it's cool, it's cool, it's church, we can admit it here, okay? I'm a control freak, I admit that, okay? We want control. We want control over our lives, and we want things to be copacetic, we want things to be comfortable, right? To our liking, we have preferences, okay? When my wife says, hey, we should stop by McDonald's, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. We're going to Chick-fil-A like good God-fearing people. And I'm the one driving, so I'm the one in control. We want control, and we want to be the ones producing results in our life, right? When people look at us and they say, wow, look at your life and everything, they're like, yeah, I worked hard for this. I did that. I want it to be my achievement. I want to be the one producing results in my life. What if through our troubles and tribulations, God is reminding us that it is only through his promised Holy Spirit that we can do anything? Ow, that's humbling. That's a humbling experience. What if God is saying to us through his Spirit, if we make Jesus Lord over our lives, then maybe we should surrender our lives completely to him? Can I get an amen? We want to control our lives so badly. What if we would just give it to Jesus? If we can trust Jesus with our souls, why can't we trust him with our finances? Why can't we trust him with our families? Why can't I trust Jesus with my marriage? With my relationships with other people? The scars and hurts that I have on my heart? The unforgiveness that I carry with me? If I can trust Jesus with my soul for eternal life, why can't I trust him with those things? That's a tough question. And that's something that God is working in all of us individually. We surrender to Jesus. We surrender to him as our Savior. And this is expressed through baptism. I want to do Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. This is a city located on the western part of Turkey. If you want to look it up on Google Maps, go ahead. It's still there. There's some ruins there. It's pretty cool. So I'm not Joe. I'm sorry I don't have the ruins up on the screen for you, right? So I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. As a prisoner for the Lord, I'm calling you to do this. I urge you to do this. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. There's that word. Bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Draw closer to Jesus if you want to see patience produced in your life. And you understand that this fruit is for God's glory. Our lives are an offering to the Lord. John, I'll finish with this. John chapter 15, verse 8 says this. It says, this, your faith, you remaining in me, you producing fruit in keeping with repentance, living your life for Jesus, your repentance, your baptism, your giving over of your life, making Jesus Lord over your life, accepting his sacrifice on the cross, this all is to my Father's glory. It's that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So I want to be a disciple. Not only do I want to be a disciple, I want to be a disciple that bears much fruit. I want to get as close to Jesus as I possibly can so that other people can receive the same salvation that I have. And that is the hope of eternal life. The Holy Spirit within us is the evidence of God's promise. By living my life for Jesus, I'm going to see the fruit of the Spirit produced. So I'm going to be patient, as much as my smoke alarm self don't want to be patient. I'm going to be patient because it's in God's spirit to be patient. And I'm gonna take on the character of Christ because he is perfect and I'm not, and I wanna be like him. So if you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I invite you, now's the time to do that. I'm gonna close this out with prayer. If you need to make that decision, I'll be hanging out around here. I think we do have counselors tonight in room three? No? Okay, that's fine. I'm here. Okay, so you can come see me. If you need to make that decision, come talk with me. There's also other amazing servants that serve here at our Orman campus that you can talk with as well. But I just want to invite you to make that decision if you haven't already. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I'm very humbled to be up here. I'm very humbled to be in a crowd of other smoke alarms where there was not a single baby bottle warmer. Thank you for that, Lord, that there are people who can relate. God, I pray that for those of us who are going through suffering, that you would comfort us during this time of suffering. God, that you would continue to produce the fruit of your spirit in our lives as we draw closer to you, Lord Jesus. And for those of us who have not accepted Jesus, God, I pray that this be the time where they repent. They turn away from the things that you despise, the things that do not please you. God, I pray that they would turn away from that. And God, that they would instead turn to you and accept you, Lord Jesus, as Savior, as Lord over their lives. God, I pray for those who have been waiting to make that decision, to make that decision tonight. God, we love you as your church, and all of God's people said, amen.